Well, let's take our Bibles and open them together, for starters, to Matthew chapter 3. If you're visiting with us, normally we are going verse by verse through a book of the Bible, and we will start into 2 Thessalonians in 2 weeks. Next week, John Eichholz will be with us during Sunday school and during worship hour. But last week and this week, we are looking at the two ordinances which Christ commands the church. Last week, we looked at the Lord's table, and this morning at baptism. And the question we're going to focus on this morning is, does it matter? Does it matter? I've been a Christian for about 25 years. That's a very short time. But in that short time, I've heard over the years in various ways, I've heard it expressed that, well, baptism doesn't really matter. And on the one hand, I understand, you know, in certain contexts, when somebody is talking about faith in Christ, they might mean that you don't have to be baptized to be saved, to which we would all say, amen. But does that mean it doesn't matter? And so we're going to address that question this morning. And in order to address that question, you know how I like asking you questions, I'm going to ask you to answer 7 other questions so that then together we can answer the question, does it matter? All right, so we're going to start off in Matthew chapter 3. And my first question to you is, can we say that baptism doesn't matter knowing that Jesus Christ our Lord was baptized? Take a look at Matthew 3, verses 13 to 17. Matthew 3, 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. John the Baptist allowed Jesus to be baptized by him, right? Verse 16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, look at this. The heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What is the Spirit of God showing us here? Well, among other things, the Spirit of God is showing us very simply that Jesus Christ himself, at the beginning of his public ministry, was baptized. The word baptize or baptism means to be immersed. Jesus Christ himself was immersed into water and then he came up out. And this passage shows us that immediately upon coming up out from the water, as soon as he did, the heaven opened, the Spirit descended, and God the Father spoke, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we could ask, well, why would Jesus do that? Why would he go down into water and be immersed into water and come up out? And the answer is, from verse 15, to fulfill all righteousness. That's what it says. That's all it says. To fulfill all righteousness. In other words, this was part of God's will for Christ's life. Part of doing all that pleased the Father. And was the Father pleased? Yes, he was. By the way, we won't turn there right now, but it's interesting that in Luke chapter 7, verse 30, it says that the Pharisees, or certain Pharisees, rejected God's will for them by refusing to be baptized. Interesting. They rejected God's will for them by refusing to be baptized. So my first question to you, baptism, does it matter? Well, can we say that it doesn't matter when we know that Jesus Christ, our Lord himself, was baptized? And my second question to you, can we say that baptism doesn't matter knowing that Jesus Christ, our Lord, baptized? Really? Yes. Turn to John 4. So follow along in your Bibles. You should be good Bereans, checking to see whether these things be so. And in John chapter 4, verse 1, and there's going to be a quiz here. There really is. There's going to be a quiz. In John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John." Now stop there. It literally reads like this. "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and was baptizing more disciples than John." Now stop there. Based on verse 1, quiz question number 1. Based on John 4:1, who was making more disciples than John? Jesus. Do you believe that? It's true. It was happening. Jesus was making more disciples than John the Baptist. Quiz question number 2. Who was baptizing more disciples than John on the basis of what you read in verse 1? Jesus. Okay, now look at verse 2. "Although Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples." Now, it would be fun to test you on your knowledge of grammar here, both English and some of you I could maybe test on Greek grammar. "Although" introduces what kind of phrase or what kind of clause? It introduces a, anybody know? I think I heard it. Concession. Condition is if, concession is although. Okay, a concessive or a concession. All right, in other words, Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, even though Jesus himself was not doing the actual baptizing. Introducing a concession is like introducing something that's also true, doesn't contradict the other one, but you're kind of clarifying, or you're making a concession. So, quiz question based on verse 2. Who was doing the actual baptizing of the new believers? His disciples. So here comes the bonus question. All right. Was this a good thing, something that Jesus completely approved of, agreed with, authorized, and his disciples were baptizing under his authority, and that's why verse 1 says that Jesus was baptizing? Or B, this was a bad thing. The disciples had gone rogue. What do you think? A. Very good. I knew you could get this. So, bonus question. This is worth 5 points. If the disciples of Jesus were baptizing new believers under the authority of their leader, the Lord Jesus, is there any sense in which the statement in verse 1 is true, that Jesus was actually making more disciples and baptizing more disciples than John the Baptist? Is there any sense in which that was true? Yes, some of you tracked, and you're quick, and you're shaking your heads. Yes. The sense in which that is true is that Jesus was making more disciples than John the Baptist, and Jesus was baptizing more disciples than John the Baptist. It's just that he was having his disciples do the baptizing. And you can guess why that might be so. Jesus doesn't want some little group that says, "I was baptized by Jesus himself." Right? We'll hit that a little bit later. Okay, so what is our question for this morning? The question, baptism, does it matter? And my question to you is, well, can we say that it doesn't when we know, A, that Jesus Christ himself was baptized, and B, that Jesus Christ himself baptized, even though it wasn't him who was doing the actual baptizing, he was having the disciples do the baptizing. All right. Third, can we say that baptism doesn't matter knowing that the apostles of Jesus Christ baptized? Okay, first we said Jesus Christ was baptized and that he did baptize. What about the fact that his apostles, his disciples, baptized other people? Because we saw that right here in 4:2, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples. So we have Christ's disciples baptizing new believers. Not only that, turn over to Acts 2. Because somebody could say, well, this is the Gospels, and the church hadn't been founded yet. And so turn over to Acts 2. Acts 2. And let's pick it up at verse 36. Acts 2, as you know, is the day of Pentecost. It's the first day of Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This was the day on which Jesus Christ, as he promised, sent his Spirit into his disciples. They preached the gospel that day, and 3,000 souls were converted to Christ. This was the miraculous start of the church. Okay? And if you look at verse 36, Acts 2:36, therefore, this is the conclusion of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now what you have here are men who have just been convicted as guilty of crucifying the Lord's Christ. And they are cut to the heart. They're convicted. And they say, what do we do now? Now this is the gospel here, okay? The gospel is that people who crucified Jesus can ask, what should we do? And there's actually an answer. Because you might think the answer would be, well, there's nothing you can do. You are guilty of crucifying the Savior of the world. You're guilty of crucifying Christ. And there's nothing you can do to be saved. That's not the answer. Verse 38. Then Peter said to them, and this is the grace of God, this is the mercy and the grace of God, to those who crucified the Lord and Christ. Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Amazing grace, right? Peter is speaking to those who are guilty of crucifying Christ. And they say, what do we do now? And he simply says, well, repent. Repent of your sins, and let every one of you be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But if you believe that, and you teach that, and Peter certainly did, if you believe that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, on the basis of Scripture alone, those are the five solas of the Reformation, if you believe that, should you ever say, repent and let every one of you be baptized for the forgiveness of sins? Yes, absolutely. And Peter did. And what the Spirit of God is showing us here, among other things, is that on the day of Pentecost, when the church began, the Apostle Peter preached Christ and then commanded all of his hearers to repent and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. By the way, did it matter if any of them had been baptized earlier in their life under John the Baptist? Didn't matter. He's saying, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, there was a response to this, by the way. Look at verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added. As in, added to the group of believers. They had like 120, now they've got 3,120. So, the question is, baptism, does it matter? And my question to you is, can we say that it doesn't, knowing that Christ our Lord was baptized, knowing that Christ our Lord did baptize, and knowing that his apostles also, by the way, were baptized, and commanded baptism, and they baptized new believers. Can we say, well, that baptism doesn't matter? By the way, this, what I just read you, Acts 2, is not the only account where we read of the apostles of Jesus baptizing new believers. Very briefly, and we won't turn to all these. Acts 8:12, Philip the evangelist preached the gospel, and it says in Acts 8:12, when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and concerning the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Acts 8:12. Later in Acts 8:35, Philip preached Christ to the Ethiopian eunuch. You remember that, right? Here you have an Ethiopian. Okay, he was on his way back home, and Philip catches up, and the man says, he's reading Isaiah 53, and it says, who's this talking about? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at that scripture, Isaiah 53, he preached Jesus to him. And as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Acts 8:37, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the man answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Philip, the evangelist, baptized this brand new believer, the Ethiopian eunuch, on the basis of the fact that he believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Another case where you have a disciple of Jesus Christ baptizing a new believer. And the question is, what does it matter? Acts chapter 10, Peter preached the gospel to Cornelius, the centurion, along with all of his household, his relatives, and his close friends. And the Bible says that while he was speaking, the Holy Spirit came upon all who heard the word. And Peter said in Acts 10:47, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they got baptized. Why? I mean, does it matter? Acts 16, you remember Lydia, the seller of purple from the city of Thyatira? And the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, and apparently he did the same for all her household. And Acts 16:15 simply records the fact she and her household were baptized. Later, Acts 16, the account of the Philippian jailer who was fearing for his life, remember that account? And he fell down before Paul and Silas, and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they did not say, get baptized. What they did say, Acts 16:31, was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and your household. Now, quick note here, side note, and I've mentioned this before, and you know this well. He did not say, if you yourself believe, then your whole house, your whole family will be saved because you believed. Understand? What he did say is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. The same goes for your whole household. If your whole household will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll be saved too. Well, the Philippian jailer believed, and apparently his household believed also. And it says, Acts 16:33, immediately he and all his household were baptized. Well, why would they do that? Well, apparently Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And then he told them, now you should be baptized. I don't think they just came up with this on their own. They were baptized. So here's the question. Baptism. Does it matter? My question to you is, well, can we say or should we say that it doesn't when we know, number one, that Jesus Christ our Lord was baptized? Number two, that Jesus Christ our Lord baptized? Number three, that his apostles baptized and commanded others to be baptized, and those new disciples were baptized? That's all number three. I could have broken that up, but number four. Number four. Now we're going to get closer to, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there is a large section of Christianity today which says baptism doesn't matter, and therefore they will not baptize. Did you know that? It's true. And there have been people who have left this church over this issue. That's why it's a big deal. Number four, can we say baptism doesn't matter knowing that the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, was baptized? Look at Acts 9:18. Very simple statement. Acts 9:18. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Now here is more of the mercy and grace of God. As you know, the Apostle Paul was once named Saul. He was Saul of Tarsus. In the previous chapter, you can read how he stood by watching as a Christian was killed for his faith. And Saul was fully approving that. And Saul, as you know, on the road to Damascus, had orders to gather up other Christians. He was chasing Christians, persecuting them, giving the orders to have Christians put to death. Then he met Jesus Christ. Here you have, can a murderer of Christians be saved? Yes. Can the worst sinner ever be saved? Yes. How do we know? Because Jesus saved Paul. Right? It is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the chief. And Paul wasn't kidding. He didn't say, among whom I kind of feel like I'm the chief. No, he's stating a fact. Among sinners, I'm the chief sinner. And then he says, and Jesus saved me to show the full extent, the full range of his long suffering with sinners. Well, here we have what happened with that chief of sinners. He was saved when he met Christ, and later he was baptized. So, should we say baptism doesn't matter when we know that the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, was baptized? And number five, can we say or should we say baptism doesn't matter knowing that the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, baptized? He baptized new believers. Now, probably 99.9% of you are going, like, we already know this. Yeah, it matters. But I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. Because I would hate to see any others of you leave the church because we teach that baptism matters. Not that it matters so much that you have to be baptized to be saved, but the fact that you don't have to be baptized to be saved does not mean that it doesn't matter. Okay? Turn to 1 Corinthians 1 because, as I said, as recently as a few years ago, we had someone leave the church, and in part because, as they put it to me, we are not on the same page when it comes to baptism. And I said, help me understand, what does that mean? And this person said, you teach that baptism is important. I believe it doesn't matter. I said, where do you get that? And where they got that was from a popular radio, television, and internet preacher who says from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, who says, the Apostle Paul said, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Okay, so here comes a whole new quiz. And I have all confidence that you're all going to just pass with flying colors. But quiz question number one, based on 1 Corinthians 1:17. This is the passage that this person used to prove to me that baptism doesn't matter. So, quiz question number one. Did Christ send the Apostle Paul on a mission to baptize? No. That's what he says. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Quiz question number two. Did Paul baptize people anyway? Yes, very good. Turn back to verse 14 of the same chapter. Verse 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Oh yes, verse 16, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides that, I don't know whether I baptized any other. Did Paul baptize people? Yep. Well, what happened? Some of them became prideful that they were baptized by the Apostle Paul himself, and they were like, I am of Paul. Why? Because I was baptized by Paul. You know, it'd be like, imagine we had a baptism service and one of the times John Rouse baptizes. And some of you start saying, well, I am of John Rouse. What does that mean? I got baptized by John Rouse. And some got baptized by Pastor Dan. And now we have the Dan group and the John Rouse group and the... You going to do some baptizing today, Brother Rick? Some of you today could become of Rick. Because he's going to be out there doing some baptizing. Well, that's what happened in the church. And so Paul says, you know, I'm thankful that I didn't baptize more of you. It's a rebuke. He's saying, because some of you, I know what you're doing is, you're saying you're of the Paul club because I baptized you. And he said, you know what? The only ones I baptized were Crispus and Gaius. Oh, yeah, the household of Stephanas. And I don't even... In other words, it doesn't matter who you got baptized by. But he doesn't say, it doesn't matter that you got baptized. And he doesn't say, I personally never baptize. He doesn't say that. So here comes the really hard quiz question. The fact that Jesus Christ did not send Paul primarily to baptize as the goal of his mission, but that Paul baptized people anyways was a good thing that he baptized people anyway, because he did that under the authority of Christ, and he did that to please Christ, and he knew that he was supposed to baptize new believers. This was a good thing that he baptized Crispus and Gaius and the household of Stephanus and maybe some others. It was a good thing. Or B, this was a bad thing. He had gone rogue. What do you think? A, anybody want to, you know, put a pinky finger up for maybe B? He's rogue. He's just out there. No, this was a good thing. So here's the bonus question. Well, then what does he mean when he says Christ didn't send me to baptize? Here's what he means. He means Christ sent me to preach the gospel. He meant, you know what, my main mission, my primary mission is to preach the gospel of Christ. I don't even know if people are going to respond to it and believe and be saved and be baptized. They may or may not, but my mission is to preach Christ. It's the same today. My mission is to preach Christ. Your mission is to preach Christ. But if by the grace of God you preach Christ, you tell somebody the gospel, you tell your kids the gospel, your grandkids the gospel, your neighbor, your cousin, your sister, aunt, uncle, mom, dad, whoever, and they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, should you tell them to be baptized? Does that matter? Or should you say, doesn't matter? Well, I ask you, can we say it doesn't matter when we know that Jesus Christ himself was baptized, that Jesus Christ himself did baptize, that the disciples of Jesus Christ baptized, that the Apostle Paul himself was baptized, and that the Apostle Paul himself did baptize? To say that baptism doesn't matter is like saying it doesn't matter if you keep the commandments of Christ. But what did Jesus say? John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Later in this same letter of 1 Corinthians 7:19, Paul says, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Now, some want to use that to say, see, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, and therefore baptism is nothing. Well, he didn't say that. He actually says keeping the commandments of God is what matters. The Apostle John would go even further and say in 1 John 2:3, by this we know that we know him if we are keeping his commandments. He who says, I know him, and is not keeping his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So the commandments of Christ certainly matter, which brings us to the question, is baptism commanded? So, sixth question to you, if you're keeping track. Can we say that baptism doesn't matter when Jesus Christ our Lord made it part of his last great commission? So now turn back to Matthew 28. Okay, turn back to Matthew 28. Turn back to Matthew 28, the end of Matthew's gospel. Jesus is there gathered. He's risen from the dead, and he's gathered together not only his 11 disciples, and I've proven that in other sermons. I won't go to the work of proving it again today, but I could prove to you that it's not just the 11 who are here at this gathering that's recorded in Matthew 28. This is probably, though I can't prove this, probably when the 500-plus brethren are gathered together, 1 Corinthians 15, but it's definitely more than the 11 because Jesus had told some of the women to be there. But beginning at verse 16, Matthew 28, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. In other words, on the basis of my universal authority, here's what I want you to do. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Next word, baptizing. In other words, Jesus made this part of the Great Commission. baptizing, which means immersing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, which has to do with the authority by which you immerse them. You immerse them by the authority of the one true God who exists eternally in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three equal persons of the Godhead. So the first part of making disciples is baptizing them. Implied is that you preach the gospel of Christ, and when they believe, you baptize them. That was the consistent practice of Christ, the consistent practice of his disciples. He doesn't mean you just go out and dunk unbelievers, right? You baptize people who have professed faith in Christ. You do that by the authority of the one true God who exists eternally in three persons. And then what's the second part? Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. What would be part of the all things that I commanded you? Baptizing. You would teach them to observe this. In fact, this would be a first thing that you would teach them. And we saw that in the book of Acts. Clearly, Philip taught the Ethiopian eunuch, be baptized. Clearly, Paul taught Lydia and the Philippian jailer and all the households of the two of them, be baptized. All of this raises a very fair question, which would be, why does it matter? Because I think you understand it matters, right? It certainly mattered to Jesus Christ. It mattered to the apostles. It mattered to the first disciples. It matters to me. It matters to this church. It's part of our constitution. It should matter to you. Why does it matter? So, seventh question to you. Why would we say that it doesn't matter, knowing all these things and knowing, finally, that baptism beautifully portrays and proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's what I say. I say, why would you say that it doesn't matter if you know Jesus was baptized, you know he baptized, you know his apostles baptized, you know the apostle Paul got baptized, you know the apostle Paul baptized. I know that's fast. It's a tongue twister. And you know that Christ made it part of the Great Commission, but you also know that it beautifully portrays and proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and following. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and following. This is the gospel. This is when Paul is explaining the gospel in all of its beautiful detail. And he says, what shall we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Absolutely not. May it never be. Certainly not, Romans 6, 2. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now stop there. And I've heard many people say, these are dry verses. That's fine. Only, do people mean by that? There are commentators and preachers who say, these verses are dry. It's talking about spirit baptism. Amen, I agree. But if you were to ask the Apostle Paul, hey Paul, should I think about how water baptism pictures and portrays this truth of the gospel? Do you think he'd say, oh no, absolutely not. Don't picture that at all. Don't think about water baptism. No, I think he'd say, absolutely. Water baptism pictures this beautiful reality that, look at it again, verse 3, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized by the Holy Spirit into a permanent union with Christ Jesus, we're also baptized by the Holy Spirit into his death. Now this is the gospel, okay? The gospel of Jesus Christ is that Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, came into this world to save sinners. And to that end, he lived a perfect, sinless life. Then he willingly sacrificed his life on the cross as a once-for-all payment for sins. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead. But it doesn't stop there. Okay, the gospel doesn't stop there. And that every believer, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, is by the Spirit of God united to Jesus Christ, and that union goes all the way back to the cross. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then by the Spirit of God, the moment you believed, God united you with Jesus, and that union goes all the way back to the cross, and you died with Jesus Christ to the law and to sin as your master, and you have been raised again with Jesus Christ to eternal life, and from now on you should walk in newness of life. Is there anything in practical, physical, literal, motions or actions that portrays the fact that the Holy Spirit has united you with Jesus Christ, and you have died with Christ and been buried with Him and have been risen again to walk in newness of life. Is there anything that pictures that? Baptism. Yes, which is why Paul chose to use the same word here as he uses elsewhere and as he used elsewhere in the New Testament to speak of immersion. Therefore, verse 4, we were buried with Him through immersion, through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, for sure we also will be in the likeness of His resurrection. Gee, it keeps going. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Listen, baptism is a beautiful picture and portrayal and proclamation, public proclamation of the fact that everyone who believes in Jesus Christ is united with Him in His death, burial, and resurrection, and is risen again to a new eternal life, and that that former life has been washed away. It's also a picture of cleansing. So why would we say that baptism doesn't matter when all these things are true? Well, I don't say it doesn't matter, and neither should you. That's just the way it is. If somebody comes to you and says, well, I'm just not on the same page because I say baptism doesn't matter, ask them 7 questions. Why would you say that when Jesus was baptized, when Jesus did baptize, when His apostles did baptize, when the Apostle Paul was baptized, when the Apostle Paul baptized, when Jesus made it part of the Great Commission, and when it beautifully portrays and proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ? So what should you do? Well, if you believe in Jesus Christ but you've never been baptized as a believer, you should be. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you've never been baptized as a believer, you should be baptized. As a public profession of your faith in Jesus Christ, as a public portrayal and proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you should invite your family, friends, neighbors, and relatives, and let's preach the gospel to them. And you should be baptized in obedience to Jesus Christ. If you've already believed in Jesus Christ and you've been baptized, then believe what we've talked about today. Believe the truth. Teach it, rejoice in it. And finally, if you have never believed in Jesus Christ, today is the day. Don't go another day. Don't go another day in opposition to Him, as we talked about in Sunday school class this morning. God is against the proud. And for you to reject Jesus Christ and not believe in Him is because of your pride. Humble yourself today before the Lord, and He will lift you up. You will be exalted. Humble yourself before Him and put your trust in Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And get baptized. Let's pray. Father, we praise You and thank You for Your word. We thank You that it's clear. We thank You that it's influential. We pray, Father, that You would help us to honor You and the things that we say and do. We pray that You'd bless our business meeting today. Our baptism service may all be to Your glory and to the furtherance of the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.